Good morning. How are we feeling? Good? Excellent, excellent. Hey, let's say hello to those who are joining us live stream. Can we do that? Can we make some noise for them? Excellent, excellent. Hey, before we get started, I would like to do something. I'd like us all to stand. Can we stand together? I know you're like, what? I came to this church because we wouldn't sit and stand. But we want to stand this morning in honor of what this weekend is, right? Anybody know what this is? Yes, and we want to honor those people who serve, who give their lives for our freedom, and also honor the people and pray with them who, for families who this weekend is rough for them because it's an anniversary of a loss. And so can we just do this? Can we just, can we pray together and then we'll make some noise for them and just kind of honor them as well. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for us, God, that the fact that we can come together and be together in one place, and we thank you so much that we are able to join arms in one sense and pray and stand and speak comfort and peace over the ones who have lost loved ones, and this is a reminder for them. So God, I just pray that this weekend for them would be a sense of joy. This would be a sense of good memories. This would be a weekend, Lord, that's not filled with anger or anxiety, God, but it would be filled with hope. And we just pray this together over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we grab a seat, let's make some noise again for them to say thank you. For those of you who are in our midst, we thank you so much. And then grab a seat. Grab a seat, grab a seat, grab a seat. Let me ask you a question right here, really quick. Let's talk about superheroes, superheroes, okay? Favorite superheroes, anybody? Favorite superhero? Thor, Superman. Batman. Wolverine, yes. Storm, yes. Storm, I had to remember, yes, Storm. Wonder Woman. If there's any other women out there? Every mom in the universe! Woo! Yes. It's so true, though. It's so true. So true. Why am I talking about this? Because I want you this morning to maybe tap into your superpower. In fact, I want you to maybe, just for a little bit, believe that you might actually be empowered, that you're chosen and you're empowered. I mean, you're not going to be stung by a spider to become Spider-Man, you know, right? Or come into a new world and all of a sudden you are Wonder Woman, you know? But I want you to maybe just lean into what the passage is for today. And maybe just possibly think, maybe you do have some kind of power. And maybe there's more power when you and me become us, that there is more, I would say, influence, there's more significance when we actually gather together and we're together, that because together we can actually go further and faster. So this is the big idea. We started this series called Glow this morning, and this is actually a series that we've done before. And every year, this is going to be our thing, that around this time, we're going to have this series called Glow, because it's going to remind us about the fact that we are chosen by God. We are God actually, in fact, relies on us to play a certain part. And basically, that is this idea of glow, this idea of being a light to the world. There's a popular scripture there when Jesus said, you are the, maybe you know the scripture? Light of the world. Yeah, we kind of know it, right? We all know this passage. You're the light of the world. Yeah. Question, though, is who believes it? Who believes it, right? Some of us are here this morning. You're like, I don't feel like a light. I need a light. That's what I need. Or you're thinking, I got laundry to do, bro. I got laundry going on. I got all kinds of issues. I got things going on. You walked in with a lot of things, and the last thing you thought about is, I'm going to be a light of the world, right? No, I mean, there might be one or two of you, but I want you to maybe just push those things aside just for the next 30 minutes or so and just go, Maybe. Let me show you a painting really quick. Let me show you a painting. Now, I don't know if you know this, but we have a lot of talented people here. I mean, in all kinds of fields, but we have a huge, I would say a significant amount of artists here. If you're wondering what the heck is on that wall, you're like, what is that? Isn't that real? It's just a painting. It's just a painting, which, by the way, the people who painted that, it's the creative team, and I love them because they're my team, and these guys have worked so hard to make this happen. Those of you who walked in and you're like, where's the hope sign? Those of you who might not, who go, where is hope still alive? Hope is still alive. It is. We have saved hope, right? And no, you cannot have it. Okay, those of you who've asked, it will not fit in your house. But we've got, actually, I want to do some shout outs really quick. Vinny is in the house. Where is he? Where is Vinny? Right here. Vinny, and Lindy, and Sam as well, her sister. We've got Rachel who helped out as well. We've got Karen. We got Adam who's doing running sound. His wife, Karen, stayed the night. She slept on the couches in one of the rooms to make this happen. I mean, we had Jeff Bartosh that helped out. We had some other people as well. Talented artists here. So glad we do this. But let me show you this painting by another artist. Maybe you'll find this familiar. Here's the painting. Anybody seen this before? Of course, right? What's it called? Starry Night. Who painted it by any chance? Van Gogh, yes, we all know it. We all know this. Okay, so we've seen this painting. Some of you might even have it. And what's interesting about this painting is that this painting is actually, a case has been made that this painting is Van Gogh's indictment against the church. Van Gogh, if you didn't know, was a guy who felt called to the ministry, as in he felt like God was calling him to do church work, and so he went to his denomination, and he wanted to be licensed and ordained by his denomination, and he went through some of the courses, and because of his personality, because of who he was, because of his, just everything that he was, they rejected him. And they're like, I don't know, I don't think so. So he dropped out of the program. He thought he was going to be an evangelist, stopped doing that, and just kind of leaned into his gift and started painting a whole lot. And he obviously painted some masterpieces. This is Starry Night, but this is an indictment to the church. Here's what he's saying. See, the center of this painting, pretty much, in the center of town, is a building. What is it? It's a church. It's also the only building, space, that does not have any light in it. Van Gogh was basically making a lot of statements here in this painting. He was basically saying that the light of God is shining all over creation. It shines on everything. There is a light and hope in every place else except the church. The church, the lights are off, there's no hope, life is dead, party's over, there's nothing there. Even though the church is placed strategically as the epicenter, there is no hope there. There is no light there. If you go to, if you travel to Europe, or if you go to certain places in history, you'll find that churches were placed strategically in the center of cities. And Van Gogh is basically saying, the church is there. The church is in the middle, but there's no light. There's no light there. In fact, everything else reflects the light of God, but the church does not. It actually pretends to do that. Here's what he's saying. Also saying, you see this black figure over here, right? It's actually supposed to be his tree, his version of a tree. And he says, he's basically saying there's organic growth here. There is life going on, and there is that nature itself is trying to reach the heavens. The church just pretends to by building tall steeples. But there's no life there. There's no light there. Isn't that interesting? Powerful statement that he's making. And what's ironic is that we're supposed to be the light of the world. What happened? And how did we lose Van Gogh? How did the church let him down, in one sense? What happened? And as we look around our world, we know, right? We understand this. We know that even though the churches are supposed to be the light of the world, they're supposed to be the epicenter of hope, they're not. It's hard because, I mean, everybody's flawed. We're broken people. But the problem is broken people actually God uses to brighten up the world. This is the craziest thing. It's the craziest thought. And so as much as we want to, what I want us to do is to push back all the things that are coming against us, the thoughts that we're having about, okay, well, I got stuff going on. I want you to lean into this conversation because you have a chance to become and to rekindle the light and be the light that God has called us to be. And then together, we can be the epicenter of hope and the epicenter of light. That we can actually make, we can change Van Gogh's mind if we could. Then maybe we could prove him wrong and all the artists that come after him and all the people who come after him. Because you know the sad truth is that the church is not known for life and light. It's known for all the other things. What if we were light? Here's the passage that we kind of all sort of know about or heard. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. This is about us being the light of the world. But this is a paraphrased version. It's the Message Bible. And here's what it says. It says, "You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world." Ironic, right? We just talked about Van Gogh. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, people. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand now that I've put you on a hilltop on a light stand. Here's what I want you to do. Shine. I want you to shine. You see, you and I are handcrafted, uniquely created to be light bearers, to be people who carry the presence of God. And I know for some of you, you're like, I don't know, man. I love the idea of a superhero, but I don't think I have superpowers. I'm not quite sure I can actually do this. I'm not quite sure about this. Here's what 1 Peter says. Okay, let me read you this. 1 Peter 2 says this, but you are a what? Chosen people. He goes, you become a people. No, you are a chosen. It should say you are a chosen person. But he's saying something else here. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He just went from you and me to, hey, all of a sudden you are a nation, which to Peter you'd say, hey, buddy, I don't think it's right. I'm just a person. I'm just a dude. I'm just a gal. I'm not quite sure. He's saying you can actually become, or you're supposed to be, a holy nation. And then he says, God's special possession that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. What's interesting about this is that Peter is convinced that you and I can tap into this light power, this idea of being having a bigger purpose if you and I move from being just you and me to being us. That there is a power in the collective. That there is power. Like, for example, I mean, right now, I've read an article that said that the one emotion that unites Americans right now in this world that we live in is, you want to guess what it is? It's fear. It's the one emotion we all have in common. You could be very different people, but the one emotion that unites all Americans together is fear. Fear of the future, fear of whatever, it's just fear. And the second one is anger. Isn't that crazy? But when you know and I know that when there's an emotion that takes over a country, a nation, when whatever the emotion is becomes in a collective, there is power in that. And Paul and Peter is saying, hey, when you become people, when you lock hands, when you and me become us, there is power in that. And then you become a holy nation. Then you become a royal priesthood. Then you become something that's more. You see, this series is really about you and I settling the fact that, hey, our purpose has to be bigger than us. I mean, it just has to be. It has to be bigger than us. I mean, so many of us are looking for purpose, and it's not found in a bigger and a better job, a bigger, better house, bigger, better people group, social status. It's not found in any of those things. It is found in tapping into a bigger purpose that God has for us because you were created that way. Now, for some of you, you're like, I'm just starting off this faith journey. I'm not quite sure about this. Hey, just if you could just tune in and just consider that possibly you could be part of this. And for those of us who just struggle with all kinds of things, and you're like, Naeem, I love this idea, bro, but here's what I really need. I need something that says, I'm going to make it. Well, you're going to make it, okay? You're going to make it. But for a second, let's just go bigger than your world and your to-do list. Anybody have a to-do list right now? Anybody think of what the stuff you got to do, what stuff you got to figure out today? Anybody think of brunch? Anybody? You're like, yeah, I already did, dude. I've got it. We figured it out. Yeah, I've been texting my goal right now. We're going to meet up. Okay, that's great. Anybody think of laundry right now? No laundry. I'm not thinking of laundry. Please, football. Yes, what else are we thinking of? All kinds of things. Thanksgiving. Seriously, Thanksgiving. Okay, Thanksgiving. Some of you guys are still looking at that wall going, really? How did they do that? You're still focused here, focus. Stop looking at that. I know you're thinking of all kinds of things. Some of us, when I say, hey, you're called to be the light of the world and you're called to tap into God's power, you're thinking, dude, you don't know me. You don't know me and you don't know my darkness. And I know it says that he's taking me out of darkness and into light, but I keep crawling back in there. Like, I got all kinds of stuff, and you do not want to know. I mean, I look pretty good right now, but you have no idea my thought life, what I do, what I feel, what I struggle with. I'm trying to be better, and the thing is, you're just focused on just being better. But let me ask you to think a little bigger. What if there's more out there? What if there's more out there? And what if God could just use you as you are, imperfect, broken, in some sense twisted, you know? Maybe God could use you. And I think he actually does. So recently I went to my first Christian rap concert. Yes, I went to a Lecrae concert. Anybody heard of Lecrae? Lecrae fans? Okay, we got Lecrae fans a little bit. Some of you guys like, I don't know what that is. I don't know. What is that? Lecrae. Is that a thing? It's not a rapper. It's something else. What is it? Yeah. So I went there. It's the funniest thing. You've been to concerts, right? Who's hasn't been? Of course we've been to concerts, right? We're all like, when you go to a concert, you see the power of the collective, don't you? They're singing the song. Everybody's like, yeah! Everybody's together. It's great. It's wonderful. When you go to a regular music concert, you know, people are doing what they do and they're dancing and all kinds. It is so hilarious to go to a Christian concert. Because everybody's trying to be proper. And especially when you go to a rap artist concert, it is the funniest thing. Because I'm walking in there, I'm like, yes, it's going to be great. And there are people just trying they're like, I know some moves, but I can't do them here. I don't have any other moves. You know, it's just so hard, it's so funny to see people go, yeah, yeah. And then you have some, they're like, I don't care, I'm doing this. And it's pretty hilarious. And so he sang a song, And it's pretty powerful. I would say just get his stuff. His latest album, definitely get it. It's powerful. But there's a track the song that he sang called "I'll Cry for You," and I actually have the lyrics, and I'm about to rap it. So I'm gonna do this right now. Okay, it's about to happen, people. It's about to happen. All right, ready? You guys ready? No, I'm not. So it's not gonna happen. Have you ever heard of a Pakistani rapper? So, here's the lyrics. The song's name is "I'll Cry for You." It says, "I feel it in my soul and in my chest. Take away this ugly thorn inside my flesh. Give me death. But grace is sufficient to start my mission. I'm so far from being perfect, I can't believe they listen. But hear a broken man say your healing happens. And hear a liar tell you truth to bring you gladness. I could never boast in my accomplishments. I can only hope in God with confidence. opposite of optimist, you and I are consonants, broken all the vows, deserving of every consequence. Will you cry for me or will you judge me? Will you throw stones at my head or will you love me? I could never be everything that you want to see. I could never be anything that you want to see. But, and he ends with this, he says, but crooked sticks draw straight lines. Just look at me. I was like, yeah. crooked sticks draw straight lines. Just look at me. I think we have to move from like, hey, I'm broken. I'm crooked. I can't. Because a crooked stick in the hand of God will draw a straight line. And for some of us, you've seen this. We know this, right? We've given our lives to Him, and when He takes over, you can just turn to people and go, just look at me. Crooked sticks draw straight lines. Just look at me. So could it be possible that, yes, you are the light of the world, that you have power, you have a purpose bigger than your sin and your shortcomings, that you just need to tap into it, and the world would be different if you did. But you have to think, not better. No, you gotta think bigger. If you own this with confidence, if you own this, then you have to do, and we have to do, what Jesus did. Jesus, when he started his public ministry, what that means is like, so for 30 years, he kind of was in the shadows, and then he got baptized, went to the desert, got tempted. He kind of was going through, he was doing certain things. When you look back and go, he was purposely doing some things. And one of the things right after that is he actually went to the temple, and where people go, and he declared his kind of mission statement. He declared his purpose statement. He got up there, and during the service, he went and opened up the Torah to Isaiah 61, and he read a passage of scripture about what the Messiah would do, or what this a person would do who was anointed by God. He read it out loud, and then he said, this scripture is fulfilled today. Like, I am it. This is about to go down. This is happening. And at that point, a lot of people who knew him for 30 years, they go, oh, this is Joseph's son. Yeah. All of a sudden went, hold up one second here. What's going on? And that's when he found a lot of enemies. This is what he read. He read Isaiah 51. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. So this big idea is that God has anointed him and God has proclaimed, is asked him to proclaim, which is a word you want to underline if you can. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Again, he says, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim, again, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God. And then he says, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow, another word, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Powerful, poetic words. And then after this, Jesus said, today the scripture is fulfilled. This is going to happen. This is my purpose. This is what I'm going to do. And before he left, this is what he called us to do, to proclaim, to comfort, and to bestow. This series is going to be about those three words. This morning is about to proclaim. What does it look like to proclaim? What does it mean to proclaim to a group of people, to a city? What does it mean for us as a church, a Mosaic church, to proclaim to our city? What are we actually saying? What do we need to say? Who will listen, right? So here's the interesting thing. We were having a meeting on Thursday night. Once a month, we've restarted this team meeting for the team that will launch our other campus. So we are excited about that next year. Yes, yes. Make some noise for that. We are going to be launching that early next year. It's going to be awesome. So we're meeting together. And so this Thursday, we talked about these three words as well. You see, this idea to proclaim and this idea to comfort and, what's the word, last word? Bestow. You guys are listening. So happy. That's awesome. Okay. It's really connected to three things that one study did about trying to figure out the temperature or kinds of people spiritually, trying to figure out a group of people in a city. They talked about how there are three things that define a city. A longing of a city, the longing, what people are longing for, wandering for in a city. What people, the pain of a city, what people are, what issues cause them pain. What's an anger of a city, like people group. So the first one is spiritual longing. The second one is a social issue, social pain. And the last one is a cultural, it's a brokenness. It's more than just a pain. So you have longing, pain, and brokenness. And brokenness is just the habits that people fall into. And so as we begin talking to the launch team about this, I wanted to find out, hey, what does it look like? I mean, every city, every town, every sometimes even zip codes or areas, and you guys know this, right? In the city, I know where maybe if you're in a different country or if you're a different state, you might not, you can relate, but here in Charlotte, it's very different, right? Like, so this North Lake area is very different from, like, say, Noda, right? Different kind of people there. Hello. A lot of artists. Those are my people. Okay? And so a lot of Pakistanis there. No. Okay. So if you go to Ballantyne, it's a little different from Ballantyne and Noda. Anybody? Right? Yes? Different people, different things. And so I was just throwing out a question about, hey, what does it look like? What to find? What do you think people in the Charlotte metro area, this uptown, this area, what do you think in the city? What are people longing for? What are they in pain about? And what is their brokenness? And how, what do we do? And so this morning, for the next couple of minutes, the question is, how can we speak into, which means to proclaim, to the faith, journey of people? How can we speak into the longing of people? What does it look like to speak into the longing of our city? What does it look like for you? What does it look like for me? Because if you're going to go, okay, I can be a light, what you have to know is you and I have to speak into the conversation people are having with God. You have to. And what does it look like, right? What does it look like? Let me show you what it looks like. It basically, you can look this up, but there's a story in Acts chapter 8, and it's in detail, right? So let me read this to you. It says, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he did start out and met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under, what is this, Kander, and a queen of Ethiopia, which means is he was a eunuch, he was a treasurer, and he had authority under the queen of Ethiopia. This eunuch, it says, had gone out to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Peter, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. So basically, this is Philip being open to God. God says, hey, I want you to go down this road. There's a carriage there. Walk beside it, which sounds strange. Why would I do that? He walks beside it, and he hears, someone reading from the Torah. And so he goes, okay, maybe I should ask this person. That leads to a conversation. The story continues on. He is invited into the carriage. He talks to him about what Jesus has done. And then as they go along, they see a pool of water and they go, okay, the eunuch says, I want to be baptized. He gets baptized. And historians say that this eunuch, you can connect him to actually and give him credit to starting the churches, the first church in Ethiopia, and actually is connected. His ancestors are connected to why there are churches all over Ethiopia. And all that happened because Philip said, okay, God, I'll just come and walk beside this carriage. Here's what God wants us to do. You want to be light? What does it look like? What does it mean? It's simple. We need to get out of our inner circle, number one. You need to get out of your inner circle. And number two, you just need to walk. Walk with others on this faith journey of all of us. We're all on a spiritual walk. We're all walking. Everybody's trying to figure out what God wants and what God is doing. And they're trying to figure it out. We are called to just walk beside people on their faith journey, but also realize that this is our faith journey. This is humanity's big, long journey to connect to the divine. When we're all in this together, but we got to start with getting out of our inner circle. I mean, we are the most connected generation, but we are the most segregated generation as well, because we have our circles. We know our people, the ones we like, the ones we follow, the ones we're friends with. This is what we do. We are so connected, yet so diverse. And it's so easy to just stay in our circle. And here is Philip going out of his way, going to a road that he might not go to, connecting with a person he might not connect with. So, you have superpowers. You are called to be light. You're called to speak into the life, the journey of people's spiritual walk. What does it look like? Well, it looks like you and I not hanging out with the same people we hang out with all the time, because your friends have heard it all. It's time to find new friends. It's time to get out of the inner circle. Say, God, who can I walk beside? Is there anybody in your life that you're just walking beside? If you're not, then maybe you're not positioning yourself to proclaim. Maybe you're just not doing that. And if you're not walking beside, then how can you? How can you really help people on this faith journey? So the question is, who are we connecting to? And who are we walking beside? Who are we coming together? Could it be possible? Remember, crooked sticks draw what? Straight lines. Could it be possible that God could use you to just help people in finding and getting closer to Jesus? I believe it's possible. I believe that you have to do this individually. But corporately, here's what I want to tell you. We have to do this, and we have to find resources, and we have a game plan to do this as a church, because we're together, and we believe that we need to influence more people here, and we influence more people in the metro area. And we have to do this together. And so let me show you a video of what we can all do together. And then I'll pray for us. Let's watch this.
Prophets of a future not our own. I love that quote. It speaks to me because it best describes us. I do believe that we are prophets. We are pioneers creating a future that will far surpass us. That we are creating the church for the future, not just for ourselves, but for the next generation. I'm so excited that again, once again, we are coming together to give towards our Christmas offering, December 3rd, to create a better future, not just for ourselves, but for the future generations to come. This year, we're going to be collecting $50,000, $20,000, which will go towards this backspace that I'm actually in right now. This is connected to the Hope Center, and we want to use this space as the next generation's multi-use space. This will allow us to do more ministry and to impact the next generation in a tangible and a practical way, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week. 30,000 of that will go towards launching our Mosaic Metro campus in 2018. I am so excited about that because we'll be able to create a community in the metro area that will become an epicenter of hope for the city. And as always, connected to our Christmas offering, we are going to help provide practical needs locally and globally. So locally, we are partnering with our school that we have adopted. They're our neighbors, Winding Springs Elementary, and we'll be collecting blankets and winter wear for them. Globally, we'll be partnering with House Upon a Rock Ministries in the Dominican Republic, that we've done a work there for about 12 years now. And so we are going to be collecting 100 gift boxes for them to send to their students there and to bless them for Christmas. It is so easy for us to get caught up in the past, isn't it? To be focused on it and to be thinking about the past. But not us. We need to be people who create the future. We need to be people who've reconciled our past and we engage the present to create a better future, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. And so I want you to think about, I want you to pray about, and I want you to give sacrificially to create a future that's bigger than you, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than even us, a future for the next generation. So I want you to think about what you will contribute and how you can participate. It doesn't matter what amount. It does not matter what amount. But I don't want you to be on the bench on this. I want you to be plugged in, engaged, and I want you to give towards raising $50,000 to create a future that's not our own. Love you guys.
Awesome. Hey, can we stand together? So we're going to be on this journey for the next couple of weeks. What does it look like for us to glow? What does it mean to us to shine? What does it mean to bring light back in the church? And I want you to know this, that we are going to do this together. It's about us doing amazing things together. You know, you know Jesus never called us Christians? Do you know that? Even the term Christian was like a sarcastic term. It actually showed up because people were going, oh, you're acting like, what's his face? Like, you're acting like a little Jesus there. And that's how the term came up. Jesus never called us Christians. He always called us the church. Because he knew that there was power in the church. And when he said, hey, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And he said, then the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. He wasn't talking about little old you and me. He was talking about when you and me become we, when you become a chosen people, when we become the church. I think this is timely for us in this season of our, in our world, that we need to become not better Christians. We need to become a better church. We need to be church. Group of people, diverse group of people, united by the power because we're chosen by God. So let me pray for us this morning. Lord God, thank you so much for all of the things that we are thinking of right now. God, thank you as we respond. Some of us will go receive communion. Others with us will go to the cross. Maybe we'll light a candle. God, remind us that, God, we are called to be someone, a people, not just a person. We're called to be a people. God, use us in a powerful way. God, I thank you for what you're doing in the midst of us. And thank you, God, for what you're going to do. God, that you're going to create a future that far surpasses us. So, God, we worship you. We respond to you as we end our time together, knowing, God, that you are able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. God, we worship you.